is talking on God's perspective on finances. And he'll tell you himself, but he was saying to us tonight, he's really passionate about this topic. And can I tell them?
Sure.
Okay, so in the last 4 weeks, God has given Steve $25,000. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I would love to get, you know, in the next 4 weeks, $25,000. So, Steve is going to give us, he's going to give us a teaching on our finances from God's perspective. So be prepared for this. Let's give him a round of applause. Let's welcome him. Yeah?
Thank you. It's good to be back with everybody. Do you remember when Jesus said Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy? You know those? So the three topics that you're looking at last week was health, which Satan comes to kill you. He comes to steal your finances, which is today. And he comes to destroy relationships, which is your talk for next week. So it'd be good to get God's idea in those kind of things, correct?
Yeah.
And just because of time, we're going to jump right in and we're going to start. So in the scriptures, there are three primary things where God asks us to give in terms of finances. Number one is to give tithes, and in the Old Testament, it added up to 9%. I don't know if you knew that. It wasn't 10%, 23. We'll talk about that in a minute. There was offerings. Some offerings in the Old Testament you had to do, so they weren't really your choice. And a whole bunch of them, you could do it, you could be involved if you wanted to or not. And then there's taxes. Did you know that in the Old Testament, people paid taxes?
Yeah.
On top of their tithes, on top of their offerings. That sounds a little bit like Canada.
Amen.
So in the Old Testament, the word tithe means 10%. It means a tenth. And the first person to begin to tithe was Abraham, then there's Jacob. And all these guys were before the law was brought in by Moses. And there was three different kinds of tithes that began to happen in the Old Testament. There was a Levite tithe, which we're going to talk about, a festival tithe, and a welfare tithe. The Levite tithe was to, which is the one that we mostly think about, was to help cover all the costs for the Levites. They were the ones who functioned as the worship leaders, the priests, they were the ones who did all the sacrifices. They were not allowed to do any farming, any kind of business. Their job was to purely represent God to the people and the people to God. And so because they were functioning in that way, the other 11 tribes had to support their finances. And the way they did that was by giving 10% of their income went to the Levites. And so it's called the Levite tithe. We also have a festival tithe that's talked about in the Old Testament as well. And this would be a little bit like a tax on parties, or for parties. There are 7 feasts of the Lord that are talked about, again, specifically in the Old Testament, but they're referred to in the New Testament as well. And the idea was that part of your income, 10% of your income, is going off the top and is going into the government. And the government, when it comes time for these 7 festivals, it's free food, free alcohol. So your money came back to you. So if you remember when Jesus stood up in John chapter 7, and he stood up at the great feast, the last day of the great feast, which was an 8-day camp out. It was a little bit like the Occupy guys. People would build tents. They would just hang out in public places. They would get branches and make sort of covering areas. And it was free food and alcohol. And if you remember in John chapter 7, on the last day of that feast, Jesus stood up and said, "Is anyone thirsty?" And everyone's going, "I don't think so. We've been drinking, so the answer is no," is what most people were thinking. But it actually found out, or actually the Bible says that Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Is what Jesus was talking about. But so those feasts were referred to in the Old Testament. And then every third year, you had an additional 10%. And that was to go towards widows and orphans and aliens, Klingons, people like that. But you know, aliens are in the Bible. It says that there was aliens. You're supposed to take good care of the aliens. Then we have offerings that are talked about in the Bible. This is New Testament and Old Testament. And most of these offerings have to do with the sacrifices. And there was the first 7 chapters of the book of Leviticus talk about the different sacrifices that people were involved in. And it was your choice on most of these what you would bring as an offering. So if you were wealthy, you would bring an ox. If you were poor, you'd bring a pigeon. And so there's this whole realm, whole listing, depending on what your wealth was. It was again an unspoken percentage kind of thing. So if you were wealthier, you brought more. You didn't have to bring more, but that was the intent, was that if you could express your admiration to the Lord by bringing an offering, people would do that. And so there was these different offerings that are talked about in the Old Testament. The very first offering that's talked about goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, and that's called the offering of first fruits. And this was an interesting one. It was a commanded offering, but you decided how much you wanted to give. And the idea was, because you're talking primarily about an agricultural society in the Old Testament, especially back with Cain and Abel. And so God spoke to these guys and said, I'd like you to give first fruits, meaning take some of the very first of your produce and give that to me as a statement that you are trusting me to bring in a harvest. And you remember one guy, Abel, did that. And the Bible says right away he gave a percentage. It doesn't say what the percentage was. He had the choice to make up, I'm going to give you the first week. I'm going to give you the first day. I'm going to give you the first whatever. It was his choice. You had to do something, but you got to choose how extravagant you were. And the whole idea was that if you felt God was going to really bless you, or you wanted God to really bless you, you would give more. And so it really was a statement of what your hope was and your belief in God's ability to provide for you. And if you remember, Cain decided that he was not going to obey that. And what he was going to do was he was going to wait until the end of the harvest and then give. And that's why God said, doesn't count. Can't do it that way. You got to trust me in this one. So that was the offering of first fruits. There are some people in our church that still do this, although it's not mentioned in the New Testament. We also have all sorts of voluntary offerings that are taken, that are received in the Bible. So you've got things for like the temple in the Old Testament when they were building the temple. It was a voluntary contribution, whatever you like to give. You have missions in the New Testament. You have supporting itinerant speakers. There was a missions offering, an offering for a famine that was getting ready to take place. A prophet said there's going to be a famine in Jerusalem. And so the churches of Galatia, which is modern-day Turkey, all took an offering and had money in the bank, and lo and behold, a famine came. So they were ready. So there's all these kind of things where, again, it's your choice. And the primary teaching of the New Testament is a very interesting teaching in Corinthians. It says that we are to give our offerings in proportionate to our income. So it doesn't say what percentage, but it says in proportionate to your income, meaning that if you have a bigger income, you should be giving more. Yes? So that's talked about in the scriptures. Taxes. The first mention of taxes in the Old Testament, in the Bible, is when Saul became the first king of Israel. How is he going to pay for all his expenses? Well, he did what every other king has done, what every other country's done. Tax the people. And so he began to institute taxes on top of all the tithes that were already happening, on top of all the other things that were going on. And so by the time of Jesus, there's still taxes, except now the taxes are going back to Rome. And you remember, Jesus paid his taxes, didn't he? Yeah. He just used miracles to pay them. Which is, I think, how you and I are supposed to be paying our taxes as well. You do not have to rely on your income. So I'm going to tell you something right now that's not a secret. My income, I get a salary of $45,000. There's probably about 15 people at our church, people half my age, that make more than me. I'm very happy for that. That's my salary. That's not my income. My tithe last year of charitable receipts that I had was $28,000. So if I'm tithing, what was my income? Now, I didn't make that much. But my income most years is over $100,000, but my salary is $45,000. So you don't have to give, you don't have to live on your income, is what I'm trying to say. So you don't have to you don't have to live on your salary. If you're doing the things that the Bible talks about, the Bible has rewards for every single category that we just talked about. There's rewards for every single category. So I want to talk just real quick about tithing, because that's the big one that people are upset about. I don't know if you're upset about this. I hope you're not. I love tithing. Tithing seems to be the guarantee that your money's not going to be wasted. There are some people, some of you know that I'm the oldest of six. One of my siblings, I won't tell you who, hasn't been following God for a number of years and has stopped being a giver and makes more money than I do, but has nothing to show for it. Money just seems to go. And the Bible says that when we tithe, God's the one who holds on to, and the illustration it's given is you have a fruit tree. Your life is a fruit tree. And if you tithe, God keeps the fruit on the tree for you to harvest. If you don't tithe, he takes someone to shake it and it all falls on the ground and it's rotten. That's the illustration that's in the Bible. So tithing is one of those, I think, a very important thing to do to protect yourself. It's like a little bit like insurance, except it's God's insurance, which is a little bit better than Allstate and the other ones. So one of the challenges of people saying, well, I shouldn't tithe, is because tithe was an Old Testament thing. And I absolutely agree that it was a law thing. However, two people were tithing before the law was brought in. People were tithing while the law was brought in, and in the New Testament, people were tithing.
That's a good point.
One of the things that I was looking at, I was trying to figure out the people who would know best what the first pastors in Israel were teaching, or not in Israel, in the Christian church, would be, if I could find, what about the second century Christians? Because there's lots of people who wrote, and we still have their writings. We still have the people like Jerome. There was a guy named, I can't remember all these guys, but they're ancient people, 2nd, 3rd century. There's a magazine called Church History Magazine, and if you want to do a little research, go to Church History Magazine and type in tithing. And you'll see some very interesting articles, and you'll find out that that was the pattern of the church in the 2nd, 3rd century, that they were giving 10%. They did not feel that this was an Old Testament thing and you should just not do it. They were living by giving their tithes. So if anyone's going to know it, it's not us today thinking, well, we got better ideas. It would be the people who would have heard from their pastors, who heard from their pastors, who heard from the 12 apostles. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's my theory anyways.
Yeah.
I'm sticking to it. Challenge number two is a lot of people say, well, the tithe is, in the New Testament now, it's not compulsory and it's you be led by the Spirit. I absolutely agree with that, other than it's every passage that's talking about in the New Testament, it was talking about offerings, not the tithe. If you look at those passages, you won't find one single passage that says the tithe was, you choose the tithe.
Interesting.
So it's not like Bud Light where it's, 1% alcohol and most beers 3 or 4. That you get to choose, well, I'm going to do a discounted tithe, I'm just going to give a little bit, all those kind of things. The tithe was a set number. It's like if you're giving 2%, that's not a tithe. Because the word tithe means 10. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You're making up new rules. I know what the Bible talks about when you make up your own rules. Usually God's not all that happy with you changing his rules. When you begin to say, I'm going to live my way, it's like the hand of protection just lifts off of you. Negative things begin to happen. People go, yeah, but I'm tithing 1%. That's not even a tip. Is it? Most of you, when you go to a restaurant, you're giving 10, 15%, yes?
Yes.
I try to be extravagant, and many, many times I tithe 100%, I tip 100%. Do you know I have exceptional service the next time I go back to those restaurants? I just came back from Scotland, and the Scottish are not the most generous people group. And I have had some of the most wonderful times in restaurants. Like, they don't even have a place on the credit card bill that comes. You know how on our Interact machines it says that you can add a tip and you want percentage or an amount? It doesn't even have that. So if you don't have cash, you can't give a tip in England and Scotland. It's crazy. So sometimes I've gone to the manager and said, like, I'm really disappointed because I would like to give a tip and put it on my credit card and I don't have cash. How do I do that? Oh, well, I think we're going to have to do a new bill for you. And it's like, perfect, let's do a new bill. And one of those times I was in London and I'm paying for three guys from a church. They should be paying for me, but because I'm the guest speaker of the church, but I got in there because I want the blessing. So the manager, we've got to go to the manager to solve this problem. Because I just have credit cards, I don't have English money. And so they do a new bill, and my bill was like £40, which is like 60, 75 bucks, something like that. And so I put in £40. And she said, no, you made a mistake. That was your meal cost, you've already paid that. And I said, no, this is my tip. She goes, why? And when they say why, yeah. I now get to talk.
Yeah.
And so now I'm explaining that God is very generous to me, and so I can afford to be generous to other people. And I said, you probably don't pay your waitresses really great salary for them to live on, and so I just want to help them to be able to have a great day. Oh, that's so nice of you. Do you know what that manager did? Walked me to my car. That's good service, isn't it? Anyways, back on to our point. Number three challenge is that some people say that the New Testament passages are referring to people who are still living under the law, because there's two very specific New Testament passages. One's in Matthew, where Jesus talks to the Pharisees, and he commends them for tithing. And you know the Pharisees? They were tithing religiously. Like, we're talking religious spirit addictive tithing. The Bible says that they would count the mint plants growing in their gardens. They would count the plants and tithe off of each mint. That's what it says in the Bible in Matthew. Jimmy's having a good time tonight. They would tithe off of mint, off of cumin. They would tithe from all of the herbs in their gardens. And Jesus says, well done. It's important to do that, but you've forgotten some other big things. You've forgotten about righteousness and holiness. So Jesus commended the Pharisees for the tithing part and said you need to do other things as well that you've forgotten about. And then in the book of Hebrews, we have another passage that we're going to look at in just a moment. However, the problem seems to be that the rules changed when Jesus began to minister. Do you remember John the Baptist? What was his sermon? The kingdom of God is how close? At hand. It's not here yet. When Jesus began to preach, what was his sermon? The kingdom of God is
here.
The rules changed then is when the rules changed. So the people that Jesus is talking to are now not under law. By the way, way back already before Jesus is when the Israelite people have stopped sacrifices. They've stopped giving the welfare tax. They've stopped looking after their priests. And you remember that they did that consistently, and so when Nehemiah becomes the governor, he has to get people going again, because the priests are out working instead of being able to serve in the temple because no one's looking after them. Do you know that in our church, half of our pastors, including your pastors, only get a part-time salary? One of the reasons for that is there's not enough people in this congregation that are tithing. So you're reaping what you're sowing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The biggest principle in the Bible from start to finish is you get what you sow. Reaping and sowing. It's all the way through the Bible. Every aspect of life. You judge people, you're going to be judged. You give, you're going to be blessed. Just all the way through the scriptures, those principles. So the tithe is not about money, it's about your heart. And if you're here and you don't want to tithe, no problem. Don't do it. You're still beloved at our church. No one's going to look down on you. We're just going to step back when God shows up. No, we're not going to do that at all. You are going to be loved unconditionally. You're going to be loved unconditionally in our church. So you just need to know that. This is not an obligatory. We don't force any rules on people. Well, we do a few. But this needs to be something that your heart gets and your heart chooses to do. Let's talk about what are Steve's suggestions. Number one, I would encourage you to pay your taxes.
Yes.
Romans chapter 13, verse 6 says, this is why we pay taxes. This is Paul, who was arrested by Nero. Remember Nero? Yeah. Craziest Roman Caesar dictator there was. And this is Paul, under that government, saying, we need to support that government by paying our taxes. And he says, pay your taxes, for the authorities are God's servant, which give their full time to government. Can I encourage you, if you don't like paying taxes, if you're paying cash for things so that you don't have to pay taxes, can I encourage you, do yourself a favor, move to a third world country for 3 months, and see what it's like to live in a nation that doesn't pay taxes. I actually like that the police are going to show up at my door within 5 minutes. I like that the fire department is going to show up and put the fire out at my house within 5 minutes. I like that there's street lights. I like that there's garbage. I like that the parks are kept nice and clean and I can take my grandbaby into a park. I like the fact that our Canadian government is able to afford police, army, all those kind of people that for the most part are not corrupt. Because in nations where there's no taxes, corruption is rampant. I was in the poorest country of the world, Mozambique. It's no longer the poorest. I think it's slowly moving up. But I was there when it was the poorest country in the world. So this is 1999. We drove our vehicle downtown Maputo, which is the capital. We park our car, and we have to hire some kids that Heidi and Roland knew to guard the car. Police officer, then we walk into this little market area, which is right across the street from where we parked. The police officers are there, and the police officers do not get a salary. They get a uniform and a gun. And now it's up to them on how they make their money. Do you think that's a just society?
No.
So we walk over, and we're obviously white. And so not all of our group are white, but enough of us were that they recognize we're Western people. You cannot park your car over there. You have to park your car here. Why do they want our car over there? So we'll give them money. If you don't like paying taxes, that's what you're sowing into in Canada. That kind of lifestyle. Can I encourage you that we are in a blessed nation because people pay taxes? Number two, I would encourage you to be, and the word that's used many times in the scripture is to be returning your tithe to the Lord. Your tithe is the first 10%. It's not the last 10%. It's the first 10%. I think that the Lord is honored with this. I think the Lord absolutely smiles on people who learn to be extravagant in their giving. So Sandra and I will just tell you a little bit how Steve Long got to $28,000 of tax receipts for 2010. I don't know what my number is this year. Sandra and I give a tithe of our income, not just our salary, our income. We give 10% of our income to missions. And we primarily give that to our church. We're World Changer Partners. We give to all the different special offerings. I have never, ever asked for an offering for missions or any of those kind of things for a guest speaker that I've not put money in first. If you ever hear me say, I'd like you to give $500, it's because I've already put $500 in. If you hear me say $1,000, it's because I put $1,000 in. If I'm challenging people, I'm always first. And that's the principle of the scriptures, is the first part. The first part belongs to the Lord. I had a gentleman that came to me a while back, and he said, I can't afford to tithe. If I tithe, I can't pay my rent. Sorry, I can't pay my hydro bill. You're going to turn my bill off. And I said, okay, so you got a choice here. God can bless you and bring extra money in, or you can go to the hydro company and see if they will help provide all your extra income. Which source you have a better chance of getting money from? And he's going, it's a trick question. It's like, no, it's not. God says that he's our provider. A whole bunch of us have a lot of stories that are negative about finances, and it's partly because we have been sowing negatively and not been doing the things that God says that he's going to bless. Is that all right?
Yeah.
So I know I'm being a little in your face. That's because I'm only here so often and I can run faster than most of you. So Look at this passage. This is in the book of Hebrews. This is past Jesus. Book of Hebrews is past Jesus. So we're not in law anymore, even for those who say that Jesus' teaching was law. We're out of law. We're now into grace. Yes? Book of Hebrews is after Jesus died. And so it's talking about the process of giving tithes and offerings in the Old Testament. And the writer of Hebrews says something very interesting. There's a whole passage you can look at in Hebrews chapter 7. But in verse 8 it says, in one case, the tenth is collected by people, referring to pastors, Christian leaders, and those people die. We're not divine. But on the other hand, in the other case, it is collected by him who is declared to be living, which is Jesus. And so the book of Hebrews is saying that when we're giving our tithes, yes, we're giving it to a church. Yes, we're giving it to people to administrate on behalf of the kingdom of God. But really what we're doing is we're giving it to Jesus, is what the Bible says, for people who are under grace. Now, if you'd like to be under law, happy for you to start giving 23 1/3% of your income plus offerings plus taxes. If you want to be law. If you want to be grace, it would appear that Jesus said you go past the law. Everyone's quiet.
Anyways, we'll just keep going.
Last thing, I would suggest that you give offerings when the Holy Spirit is talking to you and when there are needs. And there's two basic kind of offerings that our church takes. There are just an opportunity that the pastors will see a need and just recognize that someone's getting ready to go on a missions trip, someone is just really behind in their rent, and so we're just going to pass a bucket for them today. That's one of the primary reasons for the church gathering together, is so that we can look after each other and be involved in each other's lives. Yes. And that's an amazing thing. I don't know if you've ever had someone give you cash. How many of you have been on the receiving end of cash? How does that make you feel?
Amazing.
It's amazing, isn't it? Especially if that amount almost matches what you need to pay. How many of you have given money to other people? Just as the Holy Spirit's told you to do that. How do you feel? And I actually feel better being a giver than I am as a receiver. Which is exactly what Jesus said, that it's better to be a giver. To be a giver means that God has been giving to you already. Did you know there's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 about verse 8? So this verse says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. So that's the principle we're talking about, sowing and reaping. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously, is what the scripture says. Offerings are your entryway into supernatural provision. However, it would seem to be that those who just give offerings but don't do the tithes and don't do the taxes part, that their offering is just offering. It doesn't come back to you supernaturally. So can I just tell you a couple stories? So Maureen already told you that in the last 4 weeks I've had $25,000 come my way. It started 4 weeks ago when I was in Nashville, Tennessee. I was there on a Sunday, arrived on a Saturday night, spoke at a church Sunday, and don't know if any of you remember a couple named Alan and A.J. Jones. They used to be itinerant people. We have loaned them, I don't know when we're getting them back, but we loaned them to an amazing church called the Grace Center. Some of you know the Riveras who do soaking music. Some of you know James Gall, Prophet. Some of you know, who else is from that church? Chris Dupre, that we've been borrowing for worship the last year.
Chris
McClarty, he's the worship leader. So they have a young adult meeting on a Monday night, Monday night church. 300 people that are there, it's amazing. And so a couple, a married couple that would be one of the leaders, they're probably early 30s, they took me out for dinner and then drove me to the meeting. So they picked me up at the hotel, drove me to the meeting, and while we're having dinner, they said, we felt the Lord had some prophetic words for you, and we wrote it down on a card, and they gave me the card. Well, I don't open in the card until I get home that night, and in there is also $200 US, $20 bills, 10 $20 bills. So when I get money, my first prayer is this, or first question is this, Holy Spirit, is this for me or to pass on? And a whole bunch of times he'll say, no, this is for you. This time he said, just hold on a little bit, which meant not me. No problem. I don't know what you do with found money, but found money, as it were, like money that comes your way, you're not as tight with it, are you? Because it's come. I want you to treat all of your income like that, that God's the one who brings all the income in, and when you hold it loosely, when you hold it loosely, that God can use it. That's a big thing. So anyways, that's Monday night. Tuesday, I'm speaking at Alan and AJ's School of Ministry. I'm speaking there Monday and Tuesday. Tuesday's my last day. After the worship in the morning, one of the gals puts her hand up, and she says, can I share a prayer request? Yes, you can. Come on up. She says, I don't have enough money to pay my next tuition, and they do their tuition for their school of ministry at the end of each month. I don't have the money. So this is nearing the end of October. And the host who's leading the worship time says, anyone else not have the money? 17 of their students didn't have the money. I'm sitting at a couch in the back, and the Holy Spirit says, do you have your money? Yep. Now, $200 for 17 people works out to be $11.26 or something like that. So it's not a big deal. And I just had him stand up and said, folks, I got $200, so you guys split in 20, you guys split in 20, you guys split in 20. And the last person, I said, you get 10 for you, and you got to convert the rest and give everyone a dollar bill, kind of thing. So anyways, I gave the money away. It's no big deal. And in the last month, $25,000 has come my way from about six different sources. Now the biggest one was almost $14,000, and I've been named in a will. That's good. Bad news, someone died. It's good for me. Let me tell you another, I'll tell you a couple more offering stories. Sandra and I, a couple years ago, were going to take a vacation in Mexico. And it happened that we had a whole bunch of Air Canada miles, and there was a sale that you could fly to Mexico. Normally it's 35,000 Air Canada miles, but it was 25,000. And I had 100,000 miles, so that meant four people. So Sandra and I decided to take two of our friends, Roberto and Gabriela Morales, some of you know them. He's Mexican, she's Argentinian. They pastor one of our church plants, a Spanish congregation. And so we decided that because we're going to Mexico, let's take some Mexicans that can help us with translation at the very least. So I phoned up Roberto and said, Sandra and I would like to take you on a week's vacation to Mexico. And we're going to stay with some friends, and so all of our expenses are looked after. We're paying for everything. If we go for meals, we're paying for it. And they said, well, it's going to cost you about $100 per ticket to redeem your miles with Air Canada, which is the norm. You pay a little bit, you pay some of the extra stuff. So I said, no, we're paying for everything. I'm doing that because I'm feeling the Holy Spirit say to do this. There's a thought that's come, is to be generous. We could have kept 50,000 miles for something else, but I'm feeling the Holy Spirit say be generous. So we go on vacation. We have a great time. We pay all the bills. And so maybe it wasn't a lot, but maybe redeeming the flights, and maybe it's like $1,000, all the restaurants and all that kind of stuff, because Mexico's inexpensive to have good meals and all that kind of stuff. We get the deal that we're staying at a friend, you guys have been at Juan Jose's house, beautiful 8-bedroom house that he's built for pastors, huge pool, 4 or 5 maids just to look after you. It's pampered life. It's nice. The deal we have is we get to stay at his place free if I preach at his church on the Sunday. Perfect. No problem. I'm happy to do that. So we speak at the church. That's the Sunday night. The Monday we're flying home. The Sunday night I get a dream. Juan Jose is going to give you $1,000 for speaking. You are to argue with him a little bit. But when he persists, you are to take the money and give it to, and he named a gentleman in my cell group who was 60 years of age and just lost his job. So when you're 60 and in a specific profession that he's in, he's not going to be getting another job in that profession. He's not making the $150,000 a year that he was making. He's going right down to security guard, you know, those kind of things. And it's like, okay, so this is the dream. We head to the airport, and at the airport, Juan Jose puts his hand out to give me something. It's an envelope, and I say, Juan Jose, what's this? Well, I just felt the Lord saying to give you some extra money. Juan Jose, you know our rule. I stay free, I preach free. Yeah, but I just felt the Lord say to give you some extra money because I think you're supposed to be helping someone. Juan Jose, you are a man of God. And I tell him, I had a dream last night, and yes, I'm going to pass this money off. I gave the money when I got back to one of the guys in my cell group when he showed up on Tuesday night. He cries. That's a good thing, isn't it? You know that you've met someone's need when they start crying. So, has it cost me anything? Nope. Did it cost me anything for the air miles? Nope. I'm already flying on Air Canada. Right? So I'm out of pocket a little bit, but not much. Within one week of getting back, two ladies in our church phoned me up. Oh, we're thinking that we should bless you because you're such a wonderful pastor, and we'd like to buy a vacation for you. Can we send you on the Queen Mary cruise ship, which is the most expensive cruise ship in the world? Can we, by the way, we paid for it, all expenses paid. So we sold $200 to redeem two Air Canada things to give two people a vacation, $200, and we got back about a $10,000 vacation. That's pretty good. That $1,000 I gave away, would you like to know what happened to that? Within like 3 days, I've got 10 grand that just showed up. One of my life insurance companies that we have life insurance with, not one of my life insurance companies, they, unbeknownst to me, they've gone private. And all of a sudden, I own shares.
What?
I didn't buy any shares. I've just been paying dividends. But now I have shares. And it's like, would you like to cash your shares for 10 grand? Or would you like to keep your shares? And it's like, cash the shares, please. And it's just, how does that happen?
Yeah.
I have got story after story. Almost every month, I have stories. When I feel the Holy Spirit say, be a giver, I love to hear from the Holy Spirit. Sandra and I have a rule that each of us is allowed to give up to $500, no questions asked, of each other. Anything over that, we have to check with each other. Because you know in the Bible, if you're married, you're supposed to be... When you're married, the Bible says you have a veto over each other. Did you know that? It talks about that in the Bible. And so we just want to be accountable to each other and those kind of things. But up to 500, I can give 500 away. Sandra and I have had the privilege of giving thousands of dollars away every year. And just that's one of the reasons why God's been blessing us financially. Do we have bills? Yes, we have bills. Do we live outside of our budget sometimes? Yes, sadly we do. And we pay the penalty for doing that, just like you pay the penalty for spending more than you have income, don't you? And God sometimes is very faithful. There's an interesting verse in the Old Testament. It says, when there was a famine, Jacob planted seed while a famine was on. Was it Jacob or was it Isaac? While a famine was going on, no rain, no crops are growing, and you got seed that you can either eat or you can plant. And he decided, because the Holy Spirit told him, plant it, he planted it. He's the only guy who got a harvest. God's able, 100-fold. God's able to do supernatural things. I think most of you heard my story that Sandra and I gave $1,000 away to help someone buy a house who was $1,000 short. I had a dream about that. Talked to Sandra 2 days later because I was getting back from Copenhagen. Had a dream. And Sandra's generally more, not stingy, that's not the right word, but she's not as extravagant when it comes to giving because she looks after the money. So she knows that we can't afford to give this time. And I said, the Holy Spirit told me we're supposed to find someone who owes needs money for a house. And Sandra said, I just got off the phone with one of the couples in our church that are $1,000 short for them to buy a house.
Wow.
Let's give it. We could not afford it. I think I was like $8,000 behind on my credit card and no hope to catch up. We gave it away, but before we gave it away, we prayed and said, Father, you're able to take this kind of money and you're able to multiply 10, 20, up to 100, correct?
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. The church decided to take a spontaneous offering for Sandra and I. $102,000 came back.
Oh my goodness.
Gave away $1,000. We prayed that it would become $100,000 so that we could buy our first house. And we bought our first house.
That's amazing.
God's able to do those kind of things, but only for those who trust God in your finances. Yes?
Yes.
So pay your taxes. Return your tithe. When the Holy Spirit speaks or when you see needs, be generous. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, what's our time?
Oh, no, it's still...
Quarter to two. Perfect. All right, so we have 5 minutes. Here's what I would like to do. I would like to just pray for you guys, because I think one of the things, it's a heart issue, first of all, but I think more than that, it's a choice. And I did not ask you guys permission, but being the senior pastor, I can make the rule. So there are a number of you that don't think that you can afford to tithe. You don't have to put your hand up. But you haven't believed in it, you haven't thought that it's in the Bible, and you've had wonderful people, and by the way, if you go to the internet, you'll find lots of Christian people who say tithing's, forget about it. They're there. I understand that. I'm going to give you a little guaranteed, no money, or all your money back, guaranteed. For those of you who send me an email this week, my email is stevelong@catchthefire.com. stevelong@catchthefire.com. For those of you that aren't already tithing and will commit to doing that for 90 days, if at the end of those 90 days you have not seen God show up, we'll give you all your money back. Yeah. It costs you nothing.
Wow.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
You understand what we're saying?
Yeah.
You can't come back to me at the end of 90 days unless you send me the email so I know who you are.